The following is an AI reading of my blog called
Monero and Bitcoin Lightning Privacy. What do the haters get wrong?
It is for people who don't have time to read blogs and can listen to podcasts though. So, let's go!
I frequently engage in conversations with either dedicated Monero enthusiasts or ardent Bitcoin Lightning supporters. As someone who appreciates both technologies, I've noticed that people stuck in echo chambers often misunderstand certain aspects. A well-known Bitcoin supporter, whom I generally enjoy discussing Monero with, left me feeling shared embarrassment during a mainstream podcast appearance due to their lack of understanding about how Monero operates. However, when conversing with individuals from the Monero community, they seem to have severe misconceptions regarding Lightning privacy, often confusing channels and transactions. This blog specifically focuses on privacy, not other topics such as money supply emission, ASIC friendliness, mining, censorship, and so forth. It concentrates on Lightning rather than Bitcoin on-chain, although I will briefly touch upon the latter. Let's begin by discussing Bitcoin on-chain. Bitcoin on-chain. Bitcoin on-chain is notoriously lacking in privacy features. All transactions are public, including inputs, outputs, and amounts. There are techniques that can help maintain privacy, like coin joins and pay joins, but they often require precision and expertise. Suppose you need to pay an invoice of 20 million sats to a supplier. It's likely that it won't go through Lightning, especially if using typical mobile wallets. I conducted extensive testing on various Lightning wallets, and currently, payments of up to 1.5 million sats can be expected to go through. You could operate your own node, however, most businesses are hesitant about running a node with significant funds, managing private keys, and so on. The security solutions for Lightning are not yet available. There aren't any hardware wallets either. What are the alternatives for on-chain transactions? If I am a supplier receiving a Bitcoin transfer, my customers can monitor what I do with those coins. If multiple clients pay me, they can gain insight into other payments I receive, since some transactions involve spending more than one output. This implies that at least customers have substantial visibility into my business operations. As a supplier, if I want to avoid this issue, I can individually swap all the UXO into Lightning. However, it requires surgical precision and understanding what is happening in the process. It's unlikely that a farmer or wholesale machinery supplier will be able to do this. In addition, what happens when I receive tainted coins and need to use them with another third party who uses chain surveillance companies? While both parties can perform coin joins, they pose certain issues. For example, coin-joined coins cannot be safely used on centralized exchanges, which either side of the transaction may likely use. Moreover, if being audited, it's quite challenging to explain why you coin-joined your coins in state speak referred to as money laundering. You might attempt an argument about business privacy in theory, but personally, I wouldn't like to explain to a regulator that I was willingly engaging in money laundering. Their preferred terminology, not mine, simply because I didn't want my customers' transactions to be clustered. Monero, let's look at Monero first because it solves this particular case. It is not a magic bullet for privacy though, as we will see. Monero has automatic coin joins using ring signatures. It is technically not a coin join, but it has similar properties. You do not know if a transaction spends a particular output out of the ring, but you can see it spends one of the outputs. So Monero is a game of probabilities, that's why it is similar to coin joins. This can be attacked using Sybil attacks. Monero has low fees thanks to dynamic block size, so it is plausible for an attacker to do a lot of cheap transactions, mark which are theirs, and then reduce the anonymity set of each transaction. If an attacker looks at a transaction, they can exclude all the inputs that only they have private keys to, greatly reducing privacy. We do not know if an attacker is already doing this. There may be some older inputs, but since they're not often utilized, it's possible to narrow down the actual input in use through certain heuristics. Monero is enlarging its ring size and has two additional safeguards in place to make this more challenging. The first of these is stealth addresses. simply knowing someone's address isn't enough, as destination addresses aren't visible on the blockchain at all. 2. Transactions that send to the same address can't be easily identified. However, and this is a crucial point, when people spend their coins, they frequently incorporate two inputs with distinct sets of rings. If it's suspected these two transactions belong to the same user, including them in the rings of two inputs used in one transaction significantly increases the likelihood of this assumption being correct. An interesting outcome from this was my realization about how I handled orders on my online shop. I use the incredible BTC Pay server to process payments. The system generates unique addresses for each transaction to identify which customers have paid and which haven't. This practice is common with all cryptocurrencies. To make this work, a longer look-ahead setting is required, meaning you need a specially configured wallet by increasing the address look-ahead. Periodically, consolidating transactions from a special wallet to a normal one may be necessary. If an attacker wants to monitor your incoming orders, they can place multiple orders on your store and pay either in full or with small amounts of XMR. By observing transactions with inputs that match all the outputs created by them, attackers can track when you consolidate transactions. For example, if someone sends $1 three times to a merchant, they would look for a transaction with those specific inputs and count other inputs as well. The lower bound for the number of orders the shop received between your first transaction and the time of that transaction can be determined with some level of precision if you consistently follow this method. Note, however, that while Monero employs confidential transactions, it does not necessarily mean that nothing on its blockchain is visible to others. In reality, many aspects of the blockchain can be viewed, and certain attacks are not just theoretical, but can indeed be carried out in practice. Now, let's discuss the concept of blockchain and forward secrecy. Monero operates on a blockchain, unlike Lightning, where state channels rely on the Bitcoin blockchain, but transactions themselves aren't recorded there. This means that Monero generates a permanent record of each transaction. A key consequence of this is the absence of forward secrecy. A fitting analogy for this situation would be an encrypted zip file being publicly uploaded to the cloud as a torrent, which is continuously seeded by various users. Once the encryption key for the zip file becomes public or the encryption method gets cracked, anyone can decrypt this message. There's a feature called perfect forward secrecy in encrypted communication, which ensures you either intercept during transmission or cannot do so later on. For instance, PGP encrypted emails lack this feature. A leaked private key allows decryption of all messages encrypted using that key, while Signal or the latest version of Threema has it if a key is compromised. An attacker could potentially break future communications, although still highly unlikely, but there's no way to breach older conversations. Although Monero isn't a communication technology, one thing to remember is that if keys leak, you can trace back transactions. For example, a leaked private view key would enable an attacker to unmask all transactions sent to that address. Monero transactions, like Bitcoin on-chain transactions, will exist forever. If you can secure your keys and there are no fundamental attacks against cryptography, you might be fine. The positives of Monero compared to Lightning. Monero is a blockchain with some good properties. First, hardware wallets enable you to protect your keys, making leaks and hacks less likely. You can protect your Monero wallet by generating it within a Trezor T or a Ledger device. Unfortunately, with Lightning, in order to receive a payment, not just send, your Lightning node, including non-custodial Lightning wallets, must be online and have private keys available for the automatic signing of incoming transactions. Any network hack can result in lost funds. Another advantage is that it allows larger amounts to be sent easily. As I mentioned before, most consumer wallets work well up to 1.5 million sats. For larger amounts, going on-chain is a better option. Monero's confidential transactions make it challenging to distinguish interesting payments based on amounts. Small payments cannot be ignored since a $2 and a $2M transfer appear identical. This enhances coinjoin efficiency and reduces errors. In contrast, Bitcoin-based coinjoins like Wasabi and Samurai must equalize outputs and manage change. A Monero transaction with $2 and $2M inputs blend seamlessly without distinction. Bitcoin Lightning. Lightning is a channel-based payment network supported by pre-signed Bitcoin transactions for channels, not individual payments. Transactions remain off-chain. Single payments typically use multiple channels and paths. Intermediary nodes are unaware of the specific nature of passing payments. There were some privacy attacks on Lightning, mainly about channel state, but it's important to note that channel state does not represent transactions. A helpful comparison might be an attacker knowing you have a 1 gigabit per second internet connection. They may even test the type of connection by measuring latency or its usage. However, this information doesn't allow them to determine if you're downloading adult content or streaming Netflix. An attacker with comprehensive control over the network could potentially observe traffic patterns between your computer and Netflix, but things get complex when it comes to Lightning, a network. Attack might see a stream of data using the same route repeatedly. With Lightning, one payment is often divided and uses multiple routes simultaneously. Some routes may even be used solely for rebalancing channels, meaning you could witness a channel balance change by 1 million satoshis, despite only paying 100,000 satoshis or possibly nothing at all, as you might create a loop that pays yourself. A channel employs a UXO chosen by the side that initiates the channel. This UXO is exclusively used between those two nodes. Imagine a payment journeying from A to X following this path, A to B, then B to C, next C to D, and finally D to X. A to B might be represented by a Bitcoin UXO, but it's not obligatory. Meanwhile, B to C is depicted by another UXO. However, X has no UXO connected with A to B and does not concern itself with the origin of coins. For an in-depth and visual exploration of this process, you can watch this video. It forms part of my course titled Lightning Network for Private Bitcoin Payments Among Friends and for Products and Services. Alternatively, you may refer to the description provided in my book, Cryptocurrencies Hack Your Way to a Better Life. The key point here is that there's absolutely no transaction data stored publicly. This implies that an attacker either discovers about a financial exchange as it occurs or never learns about it at all. This principle echoes the concept of perfect forward secrecy. Lightning offers great transaction privacy. When it comes to on-chain transactions, how does Lightning address this? With Lightning, many privacy concerns are resolved. There is no issue with tainted coins because when you need on-chain coins, you can obtain them using a reputable swap service that won't provide tainted coins. Alternatively, you can close a channel. Upon closing a channel, you receive a portion of a UXO used to open the channel, which has no connection to individuals who sent you funds. It's essential to note that there may not be a UXO present yet. Through trampolines, receiving money is still possible even without an open channel. For instance, if you install a second-generation Nonc custodial Lightning wallet, it doesn't have any channels open initially, no UXO on the chain. The creation of this UXO will only occur when your first payment arrives, and it'll be created by the wallet operator or liquidity provider, not the sender. There are situations where a channel lacks UXO backing or the support comes from an entirely different blockchain. Consider blockchain backing as a dispute resolution method rather than a transaction mechanism. This dispute resolution occurs between two peers who have established a channel and is unrelated to transactions. As a routed payment network, it's similar to taking legal action against your internet provider for inadequate service. The nature of the transaction is irrelevant in this context. A well-functioning Lightning network involves opening channels and closing them only occasionally, such as when another node stops communicating due to shutdown or attempted fraud, which is extremely rare since they would lose all funds in the channel if caught cheating. Consequently, most channels can remain open indefinitely. When going on-chain, it's better to use a trustless swap service instead of dealing with channels. This further obscures UXO relationships and is often cheaper and faster than closing channels, especially if it's a non-cooperative forced close. For deciding when to use Monero or Lightning, I prefer using Monero for larger business-to-business transactions. Both parties maintain their privacy in the transaction. allowing disclosure of information to regulators without significantly impacting your counterparty's privacy. This allows you to be both legal and private. Monero is also useful when the recipient is expected to be offline. A great example is the story of a coffee merchant called Gratuitas Coffee. They sell coffee with Monero QR codes on their packaging. If someone enjoys the coffee, they can tip the farmer, who might be asleep or offline and certainly not running a dedicated node. The transaction is peer-to-peer. You're directly sending money to the farmer, without anyone else being able to see how much they receive, thanks to stealth addresses and confidential transactions. I often hear people who use Bitcoin calling Monero a shitcoin. Last year, its price performance has been better than Bitcoin's, although the selected timeframe does matter. For other purposes, like business-to-business transactions, the price doesn't matter at all. One side buys while the other side sells for whatever they want. A transaction currency doesn't need to be hard money. Some people even use UST for business-to-business transactions, which isn't great for privacy and can be considered unethical since it's backed by government bonds. Lightning is suitable for business-to-consumer transactions, but sending $10,000 through Lightning either isn't feasible or requires a custom setup with channels and strong server. Security. On the other hand, Bitcoin has a much larger network effect, both as a payment network and an accounting unit. From my personal experience, there are 5 times to 10 times more payments made with Lightning than with Monero when people have the choice, as long as the amount is not too high. Lightning has been implemented on numerous services, including El Salvador's adoption of it, although I am strictly against forcing anyone to use Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency. For those who criticize both Monero and Lightning, my response is that they are each private enough, and I'm glad we have both options available. If you're interested in learning how to incorporate Bitcoin, Lightning, and Monero into your life for enhanced privacy and a bit more excitement, please refer to my 2 books.
Thank you for listening. I'm sorry for any possible quirks generated by the large language model or text-to-speech engine, but I think it is worth transferring these blocks into audio form for people who can't or don't have time to read. So I hope it was useful to you, and I would really appreciate if you used value for value podcasting apps to listen to this episode and stream me some sets or Boost. I read all the comments on the Boosts as well. So if you have any comment about this content, feel free to use Fountain.fm or any other app and boost this podcast. Thank you very much.